First they killed those pigs, then they ate dinner in the same room with them. They even shoved a fork into a victim's stomach. Wild. In appreciation, her weather underground cell made a three-fingered fork gesture its official salute. Of course, there was a great deal of play-acting among the revolutionaries as well. Abby Hoffman, the co-founder of the Yippies, the Youth International Party, along with Jerry Rubin, was the son of prosperous Jewish parents in Worcester, Massachusetts. The product of private schools, where he was a troublemaker from the start, no doubt due in part to his bipolar disorder, Hoffman attended Brandeis University, where he studied under the new left intellectual icon, Herbert Marcuse. Hoffman bought into Marcuse's view that bourgeois America was radically evil, and that it had to be radically challenged as a result. But Hoffman had something over Marcuse, Rudd, Hayden, and the rest. He could be legitimately funny about his mission, though not nearly as funny as he thought he was. His was a funny fascism, a naughty nihilism. His book titles alone give a good flavor of his approach. Steal this book, fuck the system, and revolution for the hell of it. Personally, I always held my flower in a clenched fist, he wrote in his autobiography. He mastered the art of calling anybody he disliked or opposed a fascist, dubbing Ronald Reagan the fascist gun in the West. Hoffman, another member of the Chicago Seven, was a fugitive from justice for most of the 1970s, eluding charges that he was a cocaine dealer. His antics were less an echo of the Nazis, a generally humorless bunch, and more an updating of the Italian Futurists, the artistic auxiliary to Italian fascism. The Futurists were actors, poets, writers, and other artists determined to bring all of the qualities of youth and revolution into the streets and cafes of Italy. Their fascism was theatrically violent, glorying in shock and disruption. The Futurists embraced the rush of speed and technology. The Yippies glorified the rush of drugs. But it was really the same shtick. Hoffman and Rubin, for example, proposed a theater of disruption during the Chicago Convention that would blend pot and politics into a political grassleaves movement. Updating Sorel's doctrines of myth and violence, no doubt without credit, Hoffman set out to create a vast myth of bloodshed and shock. We will burn Chicago to the ground. We will fuck on the beaches. We demand the politics of ecstasy. It may sound funny now, but the intent was to force a confrontation that would spill blood in the streets. In August, a Yippie underground newspaper, Seed, announced it had withdrawn its request for a permit for a youth rock festival. The editorial explained, Chicago may host a festival of blood. Don't come to Chicago if you expect a five-day festival of life, music, and love. For those willing to look past a lot of meaningless rhetoric about Marxism, the fascist nature of all this was glaringly obvious. Indeed, one could simply take countless radicals at their word when they said they were beyond ideology and all about action. One of the most obvious giveaways was the new left's obsession with the street.